three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. This is a semi-final and grand final edition. My name is Joseph Kaur. I'm joined by Andrew Canyon. He'll announce himself in a second. Firstly, a big thank you to all our patrons. If you wish to become one, sign up at nblpocketpodcast.com. Check out that website and go through. Secondly, our Discord. Andrew's going to talk about it a bit more. I'm flying through this on this episode. Grand final preview, semi-final review. We're going to talk about Brian Gorgian. Is he retiring? Awards umbrage. Do we have any issues with the awards that were given and some awards of our own? But now let's bring in host of the show, Andrew Canyon.
Thanks, Joe. I'm excited because it's a bit late at night. I'm feeling a little punchy. We've just had a good series of semi-final basketball. Having some amazing laughs already before we clicked record. So I'm ready to go. Looking forward to this episode.
Let's go to the grand final. Grand final preview. We know what happened.
Who's through. Who saw this coming?
The over-under at the start of the year, which I took the over, but only because I said, well, we did it when they'd already won that first game. And I said, well, they've won one. They'll win five more, surely. And I didn't think they'd make it by over. You took the under. And to be honest, I'm not surprised that you did. It was 6.5 games. They've now won almost 20 if you put the finals games in there. So unbelievable performance from Jack Jumpers. Sydney, are you surprised to see them there? I'm not.
No, not. Well, at the beginning of the season, if you'd asked me, five or six games into the season, I would say I'm surprised, but they've really turned it around. They've been the form team for the second half of this season. So no, they should have been there. They've done what they were expected to do. So bravo to them.
I didn't think the Hawks were much opposition, did you?
No, I think the Hawks peaked too early. They slumped, and then they had that, the Gorgian gave them the big rev up, and I felt like they peaked last month. Yeah. When they needed to be playing that way now. So they just got that wrong. Jessup went off the boil. Tyler Harvey is just he scored points, but I don't like the way he's been playing. I think
low percentage,
yeah. Yeah, like hero ball at the wrong times. Just didn't seem to have it going for most of this season. And yeah, they finished where they were probably, it's probably right, You say they're
still
third.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Third. I mean, they still are a regional team that made the semifinal. Only four get through of 10. They're in the upper echelon. So it's good to see. I also felt that they obviously earned their place to third spot, but there are a lot of teams that just fell out of their way. Southeast Melbourne skittled like a 10-bin bowling pin. Perth obviously faltered terribly. So, and the Hawks and that's consistency. They just were there. I never thought they really peak. Like Sydney had a peak, 13 games. Illawarra just kind of, when everyone else was falling, they just kept their feet. I really think they weren't a great offense. They weren't a great defense. They were patchy, streaky. I never quite saw them going through, especially not against Sydney. Melbourne, they would have had a better chance.
Yeah.
I believe that. But Sydney, there's too much talent. And we'll talk about the semifinals some more. But yeah, Sydney and Jack Jumpers. What was now that you've looked at it, at the grand final matchup, what's your reaction? Are you excited for it? Are you kind of like, we've seen this type of series before? What's your initial reaction when you see Sydney v Jack Jumpers in a couple of days?
No, this is perfect. This is if you couldn't have scripted this better, it's David and Goliath. It's the underdog, the upstart underdog taking on the might of a team with more money than they can, throw around. It's just perfect. And I love it because I love the characteristics of those teams. Like they just played out in the way that they play, the personalities on the court. You have the good guy that, the old friendly coach, Scott Roth. Yeah, it's Hoosiers, right? Up against the smart talking, slick Sydney boys with the coach who doesn't care what he says and gets fines and slags off the referees. It's just perfect.
Can I go one step further? I don't recall if it was last season or the season before, but on this podcast, I had an author on, Ian Thompson, the author of The Soul of Basketball, which was about LeBron James moving from Cleveland to Miami and needing to lose that championship to Dirk Nowitzki and the Dallas Mavericks to almost preserve the soul of NBA basketball. Right. Take it away from the selfish Jordan era and Kobe Bryant era as an extension of that and into something different. That was the contention of his book. And it's a beautiful read. People use the Booktopia link in the description to read it. I honestly believe that the soul of the NBL is on trial and at stake in this year's grand final. I'm not exaggerating. You've look at how this is playing out. Sydney, big city versus Tasmania regional. What's the population of Tasmania, do you suppose?
I don't even know. I should know, but I don't.
Do you have Google available? Let's quickly
see
Google
if I can
that.
Figure that out.
Sydney's about 7 million. I'm going to go ahead and say a couple hundred thousand in Tasmania.
Would there be half a million people that live in 539,000. In 2020.
Half a million. Yep. Half a million versus seven and a bit in Sydney.
And that's the whole state. That's not...
That's the whole... Yeah, that's not the city of Hobart itself, which is where they play. This is the whole state, but we'll give it to them.
Yep.
Half a million versus seven. Then you've got the US versus Australia style of play. And it's bizarre that both are American coaches, but one plays talent, high pick and roll isolation or a lot more of it. And then the Jack Jumpers play this, you know, grind it down. Couple of picks for McVay, whole bunch of stuff. It's Buford, as you said, versus Roth.
Yeah.
One played in the NBA and served an Australian apprenticeship. That's Scott Roth in Perth and did a couple of years. The other is a paid walk-on at Kansas in his early 30s, a ref bully. You know, they're just so, they're worlds apart. Roth has done an apprenticeship and is in his, what, 50s, 60s?
Yeah.
Buford half his age.
Yeah. One's a frat boy. The other one's like a science professor.
Well, I put it this way. One could model clothes for Rivers and one could model clothes for Abercrombie and Fitch. And I don't need to tell you which one is which. It's offense versus defense. You've got three NBA caliber players. Jalen Adams, MVP, Ian Clark, Martin, all only a season or two removed from the NBA. And you got one guy in the Jack Jumpers in Majet who had a sniff around with Atlanta.
Yeah, eight games or something like that.
Listen to the best local. Who's the best local on the Jack Jumpers? I've got McVay written
down
Jack here.
McVay. Yeah, it would have been Magne, but it's Jack McVay now.
Jack McVay versus Xavier Cooks, national team player. Played in Germany and got hurt. And you got Jack McVay. This is a castaway from Adelaide. A guy who Adelaide decided not to pick up.
Yep.
It's all coming together. One is all about, you know, Tasmania's about doing it for the state and culture.
Defend the island.
Defend the island, pardon me. While the other, I mean, I think the Sydney Kings, and the people aren't going to like this, I think they represent evil. When they win, they gloat. When they lose, they pout. And whereas Tasmania took a lot of flack early on and just rose to the occasion, the soul of basketball, NBL basketball is on trial in this grand series. Do you think I'm being over the top?
No, I love the analogy. I think let's lean into this. It's a great way of looking at it. And I think, look, I think the Jack Jumpers are well up against it. Oh, you know, let's not kid around. They're, like you said, they've got Jack McVay. They've got McIntosh, who I was saying should get on a plane, you know, a third of the way through the season. Mm. They should replace him.
Can I just pump my own tires? I remember thinking, no, the way he attacks the basket, he looks so clumsy early on.
Yep.
I was like, nah, his size and thing, he could be something. But I didn't think he'd be, you know, a big player in the finals. But
no, yeah, no. They've got Fabian Kruzlovic. Like, Jared Week stepped up and hit some big shots in that last game. There is no way on talent that they even come close to that Sydney team. But how many times have we said that? There was no way they came close to the Melbourne team. There was no way they came close to Perth. There was no way they came close to half the league.
Southeast.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And what have they done? They've made us all look stupid. So, you know, it's the heart of a champion going up against a team of wannabe champions.
It's the soul of basketball. It's the soul of NBA. And also the thing is, a lot of people on Twitter will say, listen, and this is, I'll use the Wildcats as an example. We talk about the Wildcats a lot, but I have to do it. People were very critical of the Wildcats. And the big rhetoric was, listen, that NBA style doesn't play here in Australia. You look at the Jack Jumpers, far less talent, did a lot more.
Yeah,
and the thing was, this is a defensive league. And actually, John Casey put out a tweet that simply said, you win in this league with defense and hard work and patchy stuff, not that offensive style. And look at the teams that are in the top. Melbourne top team, their roster's not flashy.
No.
Tasmania Hawks, bit flashy, but not, you know, like it's done on defense.
It's meat and potatoes. Yeah.
There's just not that mercurial offensive talent outside of Cotton and Adams.
Yeah.
There's just not that take you off the bounce type of player at every spot, and certainly not off the bench. That's the issue as well. That was the issue with Illawarra. I felt their bench was weak, but it's on trial where you've got Sydney, who are closer to that NBA mimic, and then Tasmania, who are the total opposite. I mean, that series aesthetically was terrible. It had tension, it had drama, it had theater, yes, but actual play, I have to represent the casual fan here. If you switched on that TV and watched that game, you'd be thinking, this is dreadful. And I'm going to throw you on this, but I just want to get your thoughts. The NBL is marketing itself as NBA light, and a lot of the marketing is, whoa, next level, see incredible.
Yep.
But I almost feel like they're over promising, under delivering on that, because the play is not big dunks. You had Creek, one big dunk. You don't get that NBA athleticism and scoring. And I feel like with the marketing, it's like, oh, we're NBA, we're right there, second best league. But the product is this grit and grind Australian style. I think they need to, you want to go after the NBA fan and bring them to the NBL.
Yep.
But to say you're a similar product, you have to do it in a different way. I agree with the theory, but not the process. What do you think?
Yeah, I think maybe lean into the come and see passion on display. Every play counts, no quarter given. That kind of is the sale, the pitch, I think, maybe for the NBL. It's not the high-flying acrobatics, because no, you'd be lucky to get one. But you know you're going to get effort on every play, 40-minute games, every possession counts. You know, that's the kind of thing I think that you need to lean into.
Mm. And I think a little bit of a slice of Australiana as best you can create it around basketball, because you look at the AFL, very Australian and very male, but yep, very Australian, very beer, scarf in the wintertime. Let's all go to the gents and stand behind each other, whatever it is. NRL, similar thing. Oh, hit him hard, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then basketball trying to do this sort of American mimic, and it's just, it's not the right tone for me. And I think the NBL would be best to, they've got really talented people in their market. Go the other way. But anyway, back to the NBL, the grand final itself.
I got to ask you something about the grand final. Okay. So can you tell me, if the Jack Jumpers are to win this, does Nikita Mikhailovsky get a ring?
I wouldn't have thought so.
Is he the most, would he be looking at this going, I'm the most disappointed player of all time? I could have hung around Tassie.
No, I think he'd be thinking, I want to return home, get drafted. Jack Jumpers who? He's the only guy who's not a fan of the Jack Jumpers. He's the only guy rooting against them. And yeah, Sydney, of course.
Good luck getting drafted out of Russia at this point in time, but you know, there you have it.
Just, I think his game is the issue. I just don't think he had the strength and the size for it. But mate, maybe down the line.
No, I just wanted to check in with him. Just, you know.
Yep. Yep. Wise. Let's talk about the couple of nuts and bolts things here. Sydney.
Yep.
Fourth in offensive rating, third in defensive rating through the regular season. They hold the season record against the JJs 2-1.
Mm.
The last meeting, I think, was quite a sizable 20-point loss. Tasmania lost by a sizable margin. They got blown out.
Yep.
You look at that top four of Sydney: Jalen Adams, Ian Clark, Jarrell Martin, Xavier Cooks.
Yeah, there's some weapons there.
Oh, wow. Go on the other side of the coin. Tasmania are the eighth best, or third last offensive rating, and the second best defensive rating. And who were their four best? Majet Adams.
Yep.
McVeigh. McIntosh.
Is McIntosh the next? Yeah, it's sort of a toss up, isn't it? Whether it's Stein or McIntosh.
What do you think is going to happen?
Look, I look at this and I go, this is going to be a smashing. Sydney are going to smash the Jack Jumpers. Everything points towards that. But there's a part of me that still says, no, well, what? Like, I've said that before. I thought Melbourne thought they were going to smash the Jack Jumpers. That's why they threw that last game.
We'll talk about that. Yeah, it was crazy.
You know, this has been the story of their season. Every single time that their back's been on the ropes, they throw a few haymakers back and they somehow stay alive. I still got to go with Sydney. I think Sydney will win it. I think they may even sweep it, or they might lose one game. But I think I'm not going to expect the Jack Jumpers to ever stop trying. They're going to go in this and they're just going to give it their all. And I think they'll just be overwhelmed with talent.
Yeah. As I said, the Solar Basketball's on trial here. Can a team of defensive guys beat this really super talented Kings team? And me personally, if I'm just being objective, I don't think the Jack Jumpers are a prayer to win a game.
Mm.
It's one thing to hold United to, what was it, 72 points per game in the semifinal series. It's one thing to hold that team who just couldn't score. And we'll talk about that in a second. Yep. But I don't think Tasmania are going to be able to hold Sydney anywhere close to that. They're not going to be able to hold Sydney to the number of points they need that they can possibly eclipse. How do you get 80, 85, 90 points out of the Jack Jumpers? Because that's what Sydney are going to score unless you can really clamp them. And I don't know how they find that balance of holding down the score and getting their own. They need to put so much pressure on this team that they clamp. But who goes to Adams and
Sydney?
Jalen Adams.
Sydney are the ultimate whack-a-mole team as well, because they'll have you lock down Jalen Adams for a while, and then Ian Clark will pop up, or Xavier Cooks will pop up. Well, then Vidanovic will come off the bench and do something. Yeah, they just have a myriad of guys.
DJ Vasiljevic for me is that guy where if you're going to sort of scramble and double team Jalen Adams, they're going to find Vasiljevic. He's going to be the old guy, and he will hit shots. He's fearless.
Yeah. They're going to have to hope that they're fed a steady diet of Sean Bruce. It's the only opportunity they have to sort of hold court.
Jeez, he must be ringing up Casper Ware going, you got to come back here. You got to help save my career. You got to feed me shots. I have grave concerns for Tasmania. Andrew B. Price, Spatial Jam. I said, David versus Goliath. I actually meant to say Goliath beats David, but I wrote it the wrong way. But there's this interesting Malcolm Gladwell piece on David and Goliath where he portrays David as the actual favorite and Goliath is the underdog. And it's a whole thing. You can watch it on YouTube, but he pointed me out on that. But I thought quick to get that out there, but I meant to write it the other way. But this is what's happening. I don't see how... most of the time, Goliath beats the heck out of David. You just don't hear that story. People don't like to tell it too much.
Well, that's what makes the story special, right? Because it happens so rarely.
Oh, I'd like to see the odds. I haven't seen the odds on Tasmania, but I don't like their chances. Are we negating anything on this series?
Look, no, I don't think so. I mean, it's a series for the theater of it all. The fact that they're going to go and they're going to play a game in Tassie and the place is going to be absolutely pumping. They can say, look, we're a first year team. Nobody picked us. We're in the finals. Like that's enough. I think that's what it's all about. And I think even when Sydney win, I think as much as Sydney will hate that, Sydney will hate this, they're going to be like an asterisk championship in a sense, because oh, congratulations, you beat a first year expansion team in a grand final series. Like, yeah, well done. Good job.
And also the crowd's going to be for the Jack Jumpers.
Yeah.
Even though it is a fair contest, they've made it, they're on level terms. It doesn't feel like that. It feels like big town Sydney. Yep. And when they get beat up, they're going to be like, well, we saw this coming. They're still our heroes.
Yeah.
You know?
It'll be classic Sydney. Yeah. Beat down on the little guy. Well done. Hope you feel good about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, with this supreme talent. I just want to say this. The masterstroke of this season, and we're going to ask, what do you think is a likely gloat from Sydney? I mean, I'm shudder to think it's just going to be this fucking flamethrower on Twitter of Paul Smith, Bogut.
Paul Smith and Bogut. And
any and all and all those fucking types of there. But I think the masterstroke of this season for the Kings actually happened a couple of years ago in that COVID year where they got where Perth were awarded the championship during COVID. And earlier this season, Paul Smith had come out and said, listen, we're under the cap. He hasn't addressed that since, and the signing of Clark may have changed things, but I don't think so. They're probably still under the cap. And that'll probably be the gloat. I'm banking on that be the gloat. We did this, we're under budget. Bang, look at us. That'll be the gloat.
Mm.
But that is specious to me because the masterstroke of Sydney was an NBL 20. When they went way over the cap, when they had Bogut, Tate, Casper Ware on, I thought he was on 700, 800K or something crazy.
Yeah.
And they went over the cap to sign Cooks. Cooks is now the linchpin. He was hurt at that time. They went over, they got him. It seemed superfluous. They overspent. But bringing him in at that time meant that now that seed has bore fruit and it was a masterstroke. And I tip of the cap to him. They did well with that.
Yeah.
But that'll be the big gloat about the what do you think there'll be a what will be the gloat? There will be a gloat. Oh, what will it be?
Absolutely there'll be a gloat.
Somehow the Wildcats will get the shaming, I'm sure.
I'm thinking, yeah.
Melbourne will certainly get it. Yep.
Yeah, it'll be a case of, you know, the NBL, you know, did everything they could to get in our way, but look at us. We survived it and here we are as champions or what have you. The gloat, there will also be some sort of gloat about probably, you know, we, despite the challenges with the officiating, we pushed through.
Of course.
You know, they tried to screw us over. Chris Reid tried to screw us over. We still fought on.
Man, that situation's bad. Departing, just calling out a referee by name at half time, at the end of the game, scribbling stuff on the locker room.
It's so childish. Oh, my goodness. It's like, what a...
Wow.
Like, if my 10-year-old did that, I would be disappointed. I'd be shocked and disappointed and embarrassed. But for a grown adult to do that kind of thing, come on. It's pathetic. That they like that about him and, that passion is what we like. No, come on. That's pathetic. That's it. That's, you're enabling something there. And
that's the thing.
It's non-professional.
You got fined 10 grand and a game suspension that rolls over to the regular season, but you just tap RC. RC. Father, you're the highest paid GM in the NBA. Can I have 10 grand? Australian? That's like 5,000 American. Check between the couch cushions, pal. No. Let's jump on to the semifinals. Melbourne's hubris.
I just got to mention, regarding the grand finals, anybody who's interested in NBL basketball by this point should be joining up to the NBL podcast Discord. You can find it in the show notes. I think it's on our website, NBLpodcast.com. You'll find a link to it. If you go in there, Mr. Shadowstalker has set up an event for each of the grand final series. So all you need to do is say, click on the event and say, I'm interested. And then you'll get a little reminder through Discord to tell you the game's tipping off. And it makes a nice little system.
Yeah. So, and a chat room that you can go into and be a little bit more, Twitter's whatever it is, but this is a little bit more of a clubhouse.
Yeah, and it's people who all get it, you know, so it's all involved in the game. There's a particular channel for live game chat, so you can go in there while the game's on and people are talking back and forth, but if you want to avoid spoilers, you don't go in there, and that's helpful way.
We're shocked at the amount of traffic in there. People really dig it. I'm shocked. I thought no one would be there. I thought it would be a ghost town. It's not. It's a lot of fun. There's photos of our heads being clipped up, graffiti on our face.
Yep.
Very funny stuff.
It's a lot of fun. Everybody's in there. They're all behaving themselves, being good people.
Yeah.
So keep it up. And don't be shy about going in there. You know, jump in. Check it out. You know, say hello. People are friendly. And it's not that intimidating. Like, if you can do Twitter, you can do this. Even you, Joe. Mm. Even you.
Yeah, I try. I do try. Let's talk about the semifinals. So we kind of talked about the Hawks for a bit. I don't think there was any real surprise there. But Melbourne, though, we got to talk about this. I've got Melbourne's hubris. I want to ask you this. Did they choke in that third game? Oh, actually, let's go reel it back before that. They lost that last game of the season on purpose because they wanted the Jack Jumpers, right? You don't think it was
any. Yeah, flying between Melbourne and Tassie is much easier than flying to Perth.
No, good call. And they're just the cotton factor. There's a fear there where you're like, oh, who knows? He could have 50 and knock us off. You don't want to do it. Or maybe Vic Law return. They wanted to lose that game. They sat Dellavedova on a bogus thing. They sat Barlow, bogus stuff, and Jack White, all this bogus stuff. And yes, it was preventative, but it was bogus. Come on.
They were just running garbage. It was social league stuff. Just
at one
whatever.
Time, it was like triplet, Proust, the guys he hadn't played all year. The lineups were wacky. You know, it was a total joke. And talk about hubris. It bit him.
Yep.
It bit him. Yep. Did they choke in the third game? I mean, they should have won this series. Come on.
They should have, and it got tight. Like, to be fair, they were really hurt by the fact that Chris Golding didn't play. He's a big piece of their puzzle that wasn't able.
He plays, they win. I'm just sorry to Jack Jumpers. You're going to hate me for it, but come on, if he plays, they win.
Yeah,
they lost by 3. The refs were helping him out in the last 5 minutes. They were going to get there.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a huge loss. So to say they choked, but they did. It could be because you look at the end of the game, they couldn't. They had so many opportunities to make some good shots. The referees were letting them do whatever they like.
True.
And they still couldn't take advantage of it. So I'm considering that a choke. And it's interesting. It's the guys that were chatting it up earlier. JLA, most particularly. He was really talking a big game when things were going his way, but come game three, got a little tight, but he didn't really didn't step up in the way you'd expect. And that's the next element of growth in his game, obviously.
Well, this is where I would have loved to have asked Scott Roth the question, because I just thought Melbourne just could not feed JLA the ball where they wanted to. You go back to those old Jack Jumper United matchups, he was catching it, you know, in the keyway and turn around and dunking it. He didn't get anything easy. So I'm not a huge guy about coaches and whatever. I think their place is overstated, but not on this occasion. Scott Roth and that.
Yeah.
I wish I'd watched the game closer and I wish I'd been able to ask them, but whatever they did against JLA, he just couldn't get a catch he wanted. So tip of the cap.
They did a really good job. Yeah, and it was like, so those undersized power forwards they got. So they got Krizlovic, McIntosh, and Jared Besto all going up and, you know, working on JLA constantly. Did a really good job of it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, gave good defensive position most of the time. Didn't try and overplay him. Occasionally they sent a double team, but mostly it was just good, honest defense and accepting the fact that he could still jump over them. So just hold your position, put your hand straight up, and if he hits the shot, good on him. Really well disciplined to play.
The other thing I'll say is there was a lot of discrepancies in this series. Both teams fought really hard. It was entertaining. The fourth quarters were so tight, it was fun.
Yep.
But the greatest discrepancy here was between the Melbourne crowd, which cop on. Are you going to the game or are you watching it on TV? You can't kind of get caught in the middle and be at the game watching on the no atmosphere. As a juxtaposed with Tasmania's crowd, which was crackling.
Yeah.
That was an amazing crowd out there. I want to say this though. Dellavedova. For the series. Yeah. Okay. For the series.
Yep.
7.5 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 28% from the field, 20 from the outside, 3 of 15, 1 of 11 in game three. There was chats from people who are, Dellavedova didn't play well at all.
Shea Illy put Dellavedova on the bench.
And we're going to get to awards umbrage in a second, but yeah, you were saying, Andrew?
Oh, I was just agreeing with you that, yeah, he was ordinary. But he still took some pretty important shots late in that third game. He took a couple of shots that I thought were ill-advised. A bit like, agreed. You know, I'm the well-paid guy here. I'm going to take this shot. He's also the guy with the ugliest jump shot, so.
That one game in Illawarra, I can't remember another game where it was like, ooh. Delhi's a star of the league. Boomer Delhi. I think a lot of, he made second team. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a second. That's, I don't know what's more egregious. Bogut making second. Anyway, but that's not up.
That game three, though, the other thing that stood out to me, just talk on that.
Do it.
Had Josh Adams. He got really hot, obviously, and and they milked it. Like, he just was knocking down triples like crazy. But the one thing that worries me about Josh Adams is his temperament. He gets super fired up. He gets angry. You know, like he was really pissed at one point in that game. And it worked out for him because I think he channeled it in the right way, made some good shots. Right. But I've seen other games this season where he gets angry and he fades out of the game. So he's one of these like really, you know, wears his heart on his sleeve kind of dudes. And I just worry in a grand final series how that will play out. Because I think Sydney will agitate. They'll try and get him.
Oh, for sure.
They'll try and get him riled up. I hope for his sake that he responds like he did in that game three, but that's something I'd be looking out for.
For sure. Prepared to move on to Brian Gorgon, semi-retirement speech, I'm going to call it.
Sure.
Before we go to the awards and any issues we've got with the awards from a week or so ago.
Yeah.
That speech, I watched it, the presser, and I tweeted at the time, I said, this is as close as you can get to retiring without saying I'm retiring.
Mm.
It was, you know, a lot of stuff behind the scenes. And my understanding is Dori Gudahi, who's very close with Brian Gorgon, has been sort of forced out by other management. And where Dori goes, so does Gorgon. So, if Gorgon... I can't believe there's any ego going on at the board here. Like, you've got a good product. You've got a product that's kind of swinging. The numbers during the regular season were average for attendance, but once you started winning and got in the finals, it was good. And the product was good. You made 2 semifinals. And now if you lose Gorgon, if the Hawks lose Gorgon, you're back to the depth of the dark ages.
Yep.
Now, maybe that's what Kesselman wants, because he wants to come in there and, hey, let's build you an indoor stadium in Sydney and move it to make it the Hawks. I don't know what's going on, but you lose Gorgon and that look at, you know, yes, Tasmania, a regional team that's done well, but look at Cairns. They're in the basement.
Mm.
New Zealand, not a regional team, sorry, New Zealand. But, you know, it's
they were treated
it's a hard
like one
slog.
This season.
They were treated like one. That's very true. You know, it's a hard slog. So what did you think about the presser, Gorgon? What do you think?
Yeah, certainly got the vibe. That I mean, he only went to the Hawks because Quarter High got him there. He owed him one back from the Sydney days. So it was almost like repaying a favour, the fact that Gorgon went there. Unfinished business. So they've sorted that out. So I think, yeah, with Dory out the door, well, why would Gorge stay? Like, apart from enjoying life on the beach and that kind of thing, there's no intrinsic requirement for him to be there. You know, I think maybe he sees that as he set things up now. Now it's time for the next, you know, sort of taught people how to do it. Now it's time for those people to take over and he can walk out, you know, head held high kind of thing. He's achieved what he set out to do. The question for me, though, is it a retirement or is it I'm moving on to another team?
Well, you just look at – I don't think so. I think he'd be – I think his life now – he's what, close to 70?
He's 68.
Yeah. 68. I just think his life now is as a sort of scouty, assistant.
Oh, he's still
coach,
Boomer's coach.
Around. Yeah, but that's not a full-time – that's not – all right, let's get on the bus to Adelaide. You know, that's not a week-to-week full-time thing. That's a couple of phone calls and, hey, where are you in the world? What are you doing? Are you going to be ready for game? That's not an NBL grind.
Yeah, yeah. And Gorge did look unwell this season. Like,
he
physically,
looked a little
– he struggled.
He looks spry, but he struggled.
He's got that real hobble to his walk now. He's lost a lot of weight. He just – it must be a hard grind for him at that age, you know, trying to, like you say, getting on planes, getting on buses. Like, why would you just.
He's done it. What's left?
Keep doing it.
What is left to prove? It's especially these 2 years where he took a really bad team that was in a bad place, bad organization, and took them to two semifinals, top four, 2 years in a row. It's not easy in the NBL. Really, really difficult. So, nah. I don't know what happens. And the thing is, there's people here who are ready to step up. If it's not Brian Gorge and their national coach, you don't get Reith.
No.
You don't get Jessup. You don't get these, you know, you don't get those type of players without him. They don't want to come and play for, no offense to the assistants and stuff, but Brian Gorge, and, you know, he enters a room, heads turn.
Yeah.
I mean, in that press, in that very now famous timeout where he's dropping F-bombs, he didn't get a fine for that. If the NBL tried to fine him for that, he just open his shirt up, show his chest hair and say, guys, hey, it's gorgeous. What do you think? So it's very, very worrisome times for Illawarra. Let's move on. I want to quickly barb you with this. Before we talk about the awards and any issues we've got, the play-in. They're doing a play-in. It shouldn't be a play-in. It should be a wild card. Your reaction when you saw it?
My first reaction is this is dumb. This is totally unwarranted.
Ooh,
we don't need it.
I have the opposite view, but let's hear it.
We don't need it. We have a whole season to figure out who's good and who's not. And you go into the beginning of the season knowing you need to get the top four or what have you. So you do that, right? Why do we need a plan? Teams aren't tanking. They're not trying to lose to get draft position because that's not a thing here. So they're going to have effort to the end. And you've seen that this season. There was effort to the end.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So what and the right four, I would argue the right four teams got in the finals.
Yep,
so what's the issue? What is the problem we are trying to solve here?
Okay. Keep going.
Okay, and the one other question I've got is previously the NBL used to have like a 6-team playoff series. Is it just that? Is it really just that all over again? You're just giving it a different name? What's going on here?
No, I like it. And I hope it's not a play-in where they include two teams out of the playoffs because the NBL, the drop-off between, I mean, who was fifth and sixth? Perth and Southeast Melbourne, right?
Yep.
I feel like the drop-off is, if you go beyond five and six, even like Southeast Melbourne, I'd be like, Wildcats, they kind of pulled it together, but even then, not really. But you have to cast your mind back. Remember that year it was real tight where you had New Zealand on a huge win streak with when they had Hobson?
Yeah.
Were right on the boil. Brisbane made it. They were cannon fodder for, I think, Perth beat them in the first round. So, you know, you don't have to cast your mind back to a couple of years where that the the balance between fourth and fifth has been really close. And listen, I have to represent the casual fan here. I have to do it. When I floated this idea to people who weren't about the NBL, they were like, oh, yeah, I'd take that in. And people who are going to say, I think a lot of the ammunition is going to, people are going to say, oh, but what about that amazing Perth Southeast Melbourne matchup that we saw that determined who got in? And I'd say, well, wouldn't it have been better if Perth were playing Tasmania? Because that's what you would have got with a 4v5 wildcard game, which would have been much better. And you know, Tasmania were only in that position because Melbourne, you know, scooted out, fell over, punked a game. And then Southeast Melbourne were like, oh, let's do a bit of something. But I feel like the play-in's a good thing. And it for the casual fan, it's, oh, do or die. It'll sell a ticket. And, you know, this is a business of selling tickets selling TV stuff. And
what if it's not close? What if it's sort of, you know, there's four wins between the two teams and you just burp up a bad game?
Then beat them. Then fourth team that's in there, then if they're easy, just beat them. It's just an extra game. But, you know, if we would have been saying the same thing. Imagine if the Jack Jumpers had finished fifth this year. And everyone's like, oh, Jack Jumpers versus Perth. Here we go. Imagine, amazing. In Perth or in Tasmania, that is an event.
Yeah.
And we got a wild card by proxy this year, and everybody loved it. And I don't like people using that as ammunition against the very thing that's been coming in. So I hope it is just a, hey, fourth spot. You're probably garbage. We're giving fifth a second shot at it. And if you're good, make it. I mean, what sport? What are we playing sport here? Like,
it just winner I takes. I just think you play a whole season to figure this out.
It's only 28 games, Andrew. Well,
It's equitable. You all play each other the same number of times.
Fair.
Like, just
no, it's not. You know, not every team.
Plays it should games. Be. Okay, maybe it that's, should, that's,
I agree with
that's
that.
Now you're in front of the time. Then
another time.
Let's assume it's equitable. The draw is far from equitable. Let's be honest. I just think it just cheapens it for mine. It's like, what's the point? Like, you might as well just do a tournament elimination play, do it like TBT, and just
then why don't
just
we
have
just
it done in a month?
But why don't we avoid then if the regular season is so sacred? This idea that the regular season is sacred. I mean, come on, we saw some games. I mean, when Adelaide played New Zealand, and New Zealand were just like, we want to return to Auckland immediately. There's no sanctity to the regular season that much. If the regular season is so sanctimonious, why then do we just not award Melbourne United the championship now? You were the top team all year, 28 games.
Oh, like football,
season.
like English Premier League football.
Because it's not that important in basketball. It's about now you're matched up. Yeah, you v you. Now it's a boxing match and you got to do it. No, I like this idea by the NBL. I don't think it cheapens the regular season because your top performers are still right through. I like it.
Okay.
I like it, and I like it for the casual fan. I have to represent people who are not rusted on. Not that I'm
no, screw those people.
Negative.
They should show some commitment.
Okay, all right. There you have it. Screw you.
So both of us,
casual fans,
jump into the Discord. Tell us what you think.
All right, let's move on quickly. Just before again, award umbrage.
Yep.
Josh Giddey was at the Melbourne United game. I had to laugh. This is a taking it to the tweet. So we'll play the sting now. I had to bring this up because there was Giddey. Everyone's like, oh, he's such a good kid. Such a wholesome lad. And there's the picture. And he's flanked by his manager, Hogan Yule. And then his agent, I think it was either Daniel or Aaron Moldovan.
Yep.
Or Moldovan.
Yep.
And that made me laugh. This link chain. You know the scene in The Simpsons when Mr. Burns kidnaps Tom Jones and Smithers is behind him. He's like, oh, maybe Mr. Tom Jones. It's like, oh, hi, Marge. Good to see you. It's like, that's it. Keep smiling. Everybody's happy. I just saw him flanked by the management. It did make me laugh. So that's it. But the reason why I want to take it to the tweets is I think it was Daniel Moldovan came out with a tweet that was like, oh, how was that not a foul on Golding when he kicked his feet out and Adams ran through them?
Yeah.
All right. I saw a clear separation between what Cotton does and what Golding did there.
Same.
Golding's leg was out at a 90 degree and the contact was made because it was out, whereas Cotton moves his landing and people crowd his landing space.
Yep.
So there is a distinction. You could probably go play by play and some are a bit 50-50 on Cotton, but I was okay with the call. But his tweet was basically, can someone – he brought Cotton into it, who's not his client, he's a Pensac agent, and said, oh, you know, MVP's gotten that all the time. Why doesn't Golding get it? And that's why I like him. To take a moment, I like Moldovan. He'll use social media. He represents his clients very aggressively, but also presumably ethically. I'd hope so. But what I hated about it was then Jason Kandee replied, and it was just those two talking over it. The fans were like, I thought it was all right, and they're just responding to each other. Yeah, and I thought, don't do that. Don't be exclusionary. It was, again, to quote a movie scene, but it was like the end of Crocodile Dundee. You know, when Linda Kozlowski's at one end of the station and Crocodile Dundee's at the other, and it's like, she loves you. And then the next person goes, yeah, she loves you. You know, it's like, and they're just talking over the top of hundreds of people on the pub. And that's what it feels like with NBL people on Twitter sometimes. They're just, all the fans, just duck down a bit. Yeah, you, talking through. Like, it's like, don't do that.
Yeah.
It's social media, be sociable.
Yeah.
Sorry, what do you think about the play? And
nice way to put it. Yeah, I thought it was a correct call. It was not a foul. Yeah. He put his leg in all sorts of strange angles to get
not that. A foul on Adams.
No, you mean, yeah. No, it wasn't. He kicked out his leg. It wasn't. He had the ability to land. It wasn't in his cylinder. Like, his leg was outside his cylinder.
It was a long way out.
And Bryce Cotton gets vertical elevation on his jump shot, and that's what causes the fouls. He stays up for a long time.
Yeah,
players
and guys come
jump
under him.
Forward to try and block it, and then collapse into his landing space. That wasn't the case here. That was a good overturn.
Yeah, it was, and it was quite a critical one as well.
And surprised me that they did it, because I saw that as, oh, that should be overturned, but it won't be. And then I was surprised when they did. I was like, wow.
The standard of reffing, like when Michael Allen in Perth called Cotton for that hooking. This is casting. When he called that, I thought that foul was there. And for him to call that in Perth, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Things have – it was not a – I thought it was a foul. Like, you can't do that action. It wasn't very – it wasn't a real push behind, but what do you think?
I thought that was super soft at that point in the game. I thought that was soft. That's a referee putting himself in the middle of the game when he shouldn't.
That action, though, you cannot do what Cotton did. I agreed with the call. As much as I agree it was soft, it's like, Cotton, don't put yourself in that position. You know you can't hook around, and it looked bad on camera.
Yeah.
As far as the actual action, the impact of it is kind of irrelevant. He hooked him.
Yeah.
So
refereeing is the area that needs to improve a lot. Like, to late in game of that game three, Melbourne Tassie, like, Melbourne United players could just punch out a jack jumper at that point and not be called for anything. Like, that play where Dele missed that easy putback, like, that was ridiculous. He should have made the shot, but I'm glad he didn't, because he punched somebody in the head beforehand.
Well, that's Vic. That's Vic Country in a nutshell. And I said that we said that in our Insta previews, that none of these refs are going to have the balls to call Boomer Dele an NBA Dellavedova for a foul. You know, this guy's been scragging people all year. But when I talked about the NBL Grand Final, the spirit of the NBL being soul of basketball on trial, it's so true, because the reffing allowed that series to be a casual fan's nightmare. I mean, imagine if you said to someone, hey, go and see the NBL. It's the second best league to the NBA. People are going to think, oh, NBA product, here we go. And you see that mud wrestle, that KY jelly, nudie bar mud wrestle. You think, this isn't basketball. This is closer to an NFL line of scrimmage. So the refs really have to be more, I just think they have to stop dragging this game down and allowing so much contact. But we've spoken about that.
Hey, Joe, can you play the tweets thing again? Tweets. That was just for Tegan, because I have one more tweet.
Do it.
Okay. So you, Joe, you went out on Twitter and you posed a question. You said, where will the Kings party to celebrate their entry into the grand final? And then you wanted to say, oh, I forgot, Sydney is a socially fragmented mess, a horrid labyrinth of one-way streets and bottlenecks, and its inhabitants prefer Lego masters and an early bed. Party like it's 1999. Now,
great tweet. Wow. Solid tweet. Very happy with it. It had a nice symphony to it. I dare say a poetry.
And
blue ribbon tweet, I'm open.
Yeah, but hey, there's nothing wrong with liking Lego masters. Steady on with that one.
You know what? I regretted that in retrospect.
That's okay. But, you know, you got called out on that tweet, because Skins Fanatic 31 came back at you and said, haha, Jesus Christ, here I was thinking this is a creditable account. No, just some knob jockey from WA who has a few hundred more followers than yours truly. How does eat a dick sound?
We laughed about this before we started recording.
It's pretty funny.
Also, great tweet. And listen, the thing with socials is the more mistakes you make, the more reaction it gets. And I understood this one got a reaction out of you.
Well, yeah, I saw that. And I thought, poor guy. You know, like, I get what he's saying. I could see where he's a bit fired up. He's defending his city. Fair enough. So I went back. I wanted to help the man out. So I went back to him and said, the word you're looking for is credible, not creditable. Fair effort, though. Just helping a guy out. He got back to me. He appreciated it. And he came back and said, yeah, thanks. I normally hate when I get corrected, but at least you weren't a prick about it.
You didn't correct him again, did you?
No, I left it at that one. Let the sleeping dogs lie on that one. But you see how it's just calming it down. As this was drawn to our attention on the Discord again, got a bit of a they basically said that you're the iron glove, and I'm the you're the iron fist, and I'm the velvet glove.
Wow, high praise from the Discord and the patrons. We appreciate that.
Then they went on to abuse us a little bit about what you do with an iron glove and a
masturbation thing. Like, there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then I think we ended up getting into cuck talk, but you know,
cuck has come and gone with the NBL Pocket Pod, but I've got a feeling during this season it may just come back. I want to do this awards umbrage. Did you have any issue with any of the awards that came out? I'll start us off. MVP Adams, Mr. Quarter of the Season. Did you have an issue with it?
I thought Bryce Cotton may have just won. Should have perhaps just pipped him, mainly because of that lack of games played. But at the same time, Bryce Cotton's team didn't make the finals, and it was a down year by Bryce's standards.
It was.
Agreed, yeah. So I don't really have an issue with it.
No, neither. I've said it. I'd love an eligibility pin where it's like, if you miss more than this many games, because I think a quarter of the season, it should rule a person ineligible, but because it hasn't, Adams is the guy, and I've got no qualms with it at all. Defensive Player of the Year went to Cleveland. You got any issue with that?
Look, he's one of those spectacular defensive players. You know, he'll get noticed. He will, you know, you block a few shots, you deflect some balls and get out in the fast break. And I think that...
Deflect some balls with your iron fist or velvet glove or both.
Exactly. So I can see why he's chosen. Maybe somebody more like it. Like Shai Ili or something perhaps would have been worth thinking about. Even somebody like Pinder, perhaps.
Oh, no. I think you lost me. Okay, all right. Take it. You're out now. You're out. Pinder had a good year. Very happy for him to get most improved. I thought that was a good one. But no, defense by the year, I think it's either Cooks or Ili. I would have gone with Ili, Cooks, then Cleveland. But, you know, I'm not on the floor. But yeah, Ili, to me, was the guy.
I don't rate Cooks' defense as highly as others do.
Yeah, but... I will say this, led the league in blocks, which I know is a fancy stat, but it meant something. He turned a lot. So many players were driving the keyway. Oh, I was overcooked. I'll go back out. He did that to so many players all the time. And that doesn't count. So his stats, block stats were up, but his influence on the thing was a lot. And then secondly, rebounds. He led the league in rebounds, I think, or close to. And, you know, I still believe that rebounds, contested defensive rebounds are not easy, and they end a defensive possession. They're part of defense.
Okay.
A defensive rebound.
Yep.
And he was the guy, and I just thought he was really good and anchored that team when Hunter was down. It was on him. It's certainly not Terrell Martin didn't set the one on defensively, but it was that guy, and I thought he deserved more. But the guy was Ili. Shai Ili had some games where he was clamping down guys like Cotton, clamping down guys and everybody, and then making these plays and diving on the floor.
Yep.
I thought it was his award. I thought he was – robbed is a strong word, but – gee, I wouldn't be at all. I think he was robbed a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
I really do. Now, talking about getting robbed, second team features both Golding and Dellavedova. Now, they are the backcourt of the number one team, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your reaction?
I'd probably be okay with Golding. Deli?
Same.
I thought Shai Ili was better than Dellavedova. So
exactly. That's the guy who should be here.
So, yeah, if you're going to pick another Melbourne guy, pick him.
So just throw out some names. Here's some guys that these two made it over. And Golding, I'm actually pretty happy with. He
had a good season.
He had a good season. So obviously Ili is one we spoke about. Xavier Rath and Mays.
Mm.
Okay, no problem. Okay. Josh Maget.
Yeah.
It's a fourth place team. Yeah. He had a very, he made some huge shots and was pivotal in some big wins. Then the other one is Jack McVeigh. I think he had a better year than Daly.
Yeah.
But it's certainly a better late part of the year.
Yeah.
But I think the guy is Josh. I think it's Illy. Illy yeah. is you would rather have him in your backcourt than Dellavedova. And then the other guy is Josh Maget. I think those two could feel pretty aggrieved, if that's a word, that they didn't make it. So, and just here's a funny little stat for people like that. Mark Patterson. Oh, yep.
I was just going to say, I think getting NBL second team, you probably only win like a Hungry Jack's value meal anyway. I don't think the prize is too huge for that one.
Handshake, punch in the stomach, pat on the bum, and a new bus ticket home. I will say just quietly, Lamar Patterson had a bad year, right? Objectively, and people were really down him. Both Dellavedova and Golding had lower PERs than Patterson. Now, not a mind-blowing stat. I was a bit surprised to see it. PERs, just a silly stat. It's made in a computer, I get that, but just throwing out little something to chew.
Yeah.
There you go. It's a little rib. Enjoy
to think about. How about other awards, the NBL Pocket Podcast Awards?
We're going to do this. We're going to give out some awards. We've got some silly ones, some smart ones. How do you want to start this? Yeah, what do we call them? The Pockies? The Pockets? The Pocky? The Pod Pox? The Pod Pox? Pod Pox.
How about we just call them the Cucks?
All right, let's start the Cucks. The Cuck Awards. Give me your first category and your nominees. Let's do it.
Oh, jeez, I'm going to get in so much trouble. Best Hair.
Okay. Best Hair nominees?
And the nominees are Keanu Pinder.
Great hair.
Luke Travers. Tajir McCall.
For me,
mm-hmm.
it's McCall.
Okay.
Because of an impracticality standpoint. It was in his face. Whereas Pinder had a headband most of the year.
Yep.
And then who was the other one? I've forgotten already.
Travers. Luke Travers.
Yeah. No, got tiresome towards the end. And it didn't change up. Yeah. He needed to shave the sides a bit more shapely up. No, I'm happy to put him third. So I'm going with McCall. Who'd you go?
I went with Pinder just because he showed a bit more variety. Some days he was up. Variety was down. You'd always come into a game not knowing what you're going to get from Keanu Pinder. Okay. Probably calmed it down a little bit towards the end of the season. But for mine, Keanu. But look.
Here's the casting vote. The casting vote and the winner is awarded to whoever asked the question. So we have a tie.
Okay.
It is awarded to Pinder. Okay, on those grounds. You at home play a lot. I'll give one of mine. Best bald head in the league.
Oof. All right.
I've got CJ Bruton, Jack Hevron, Derek Rucker.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm gonna go.
Run away.
This is tough. I'm gonna go Jack Hevron.
Okay.
He has there's a particular shininess to it that I appreciate. Oh. It's buffed to
a high sheen.
High sheen, yeah.
Holy moly, Jack Hevron. What is your secret? Turtle wax or something? It is
unreal. It's impressive. And he...
Sorry.
He pulls it off. So there we go.
I had Jack Hevron in a runaway. That thing, maybe it's the studio lights. I don't know, but he, wow.
Love it.
Wow.
All right.
So there's a big winner there.
My next one. Ugliest jump shot.
Oh, come on. Okay. This is a given. You don't need to read the nominees, but do it anyway.
Okay, we have Luke Travers, the second nomination, Sam McDaniel, and Matthew Dellavedova.
It's Dellavedova in a landslide.
Of course it is.
That's just...
I don't even know why we bother with that category.
Over.
That should be called the deli. Oh,
it's just no one... It's the other two kind of... I've seen that before, or variations of... The Dellavedova, it's almost like
it's a vortex. I can't figure it out. The only shot is Sean Marion is the only other shot that I've seen that I can't figure out the body mechanics of it as it happens.
It's like self harm in a basketball shot. It's just it's counterproductive. let's go on from that.
Right.
I've got a rather serious one. Worst coach of the year.
Wow.
Nominations.
Not Morrison. Connor Henry, is it?
Morrison, Duncan, Mitchell. I think they're the ones that perform the least. And I think we can scrub off James Duncan. They got hurt. They weren't a great roster. Bang.
Okay.
Morrison, Mitchell. Who you got? It's a tough award. We hate to do it.
It's really tough.
Mitchell had expectations. I think it's Morrison.
I think I think it is Scott Morrison. I think it is.
They lost. You know,
they had two superstar players.
One got hurt, but they that 9 games at home, and they only won like 2 or 3 of them.
Yep.
No. They split them, and I'm with Morrison. You concur?
Yeah, I do. It's close because I think Simon Mitchell really underperformed this year as well. But, you know.
I just thought they didn't. Who were their imports?
Yeah, he was working with, like, you know, small forwards that couldn't shoot. So he can't get on the court and shoot the ball.
Agreed. Next.
All right, next one is League Heartthrob.
Ooh.
Okay, so we've got Hugo Basson, Dusty Hannes, and Jarrod Kenny. Aging, but still able to give that
define sultry look. Criteria, please.
Mainly, like, if you went to a meet the player after the game with your girlfriend, which would you be most worried she would leave you for?
Oh, Dusty Hannes. Dusty Hannes looks like the sixth Backstreet Boy. If there's 5 of them, I don't know how many there were, but he would not be out of place in the background for sure.
Perfect. That's who I had too. Dusty Hannes. Even with that clean the pool mustache.
Yeah, if I'd say especially with that.
I think Hugo Basson, he would have scored some points because of his accent.
Too young.
But too young and still too just, young. You know, got the acne, kind of just not there yet.
A bit of complexion issues there. Yep. Needs a little, what's that ingredient? I see it on TikTok all the time. Yeah, I forget that. But yeah, Dusty Hannes for sure.
Runaway winner.
Okay, here's my award here. The award is player who's the most impactful but looks the least like a sportsman. And the nominees are Babyface Josh Bajet. Jack McVay, kind of wiry, looks more like a Bricky's labourer. And then Kyle Adnam, doesn't look like a sportsman, looks like a guy who'd be more into like records, vinyl, surfing, which surfing. I suppose is a sport, but you know what I mean.
Yep.
So they're my three. Is there anyone I've left off and I maybe should have put on here? Tom Vodanovic was one who I thought, but I don't think he was as impactful as these three. So
That's a good one. I'd say maybe Sam Froehlich as well might. I mean, not Sam Froehlich, sorry, Harry Froehlich.
Harry Froehlich, but I just thought he would on the impact. I had to weigh up impactful with sportsmen.
No, fair call. I would
Josh Bajet, McVay, Adam.
Okay, I'm going to say Bajet because he
impactful.
He looks like Tintin, and I would expect to see him at the accounting firm. I don't expect to see him on a basketball court.
And I actually think he'd be the guy in the office where when you see him coming to a social gathering, you're like, oh no, he's coming. He'd be like, hey gang, what's going on? Brewster. Next award.
Okay, flopper.
Bajet and a runaway.
Flopper of the year.
Oh, wow. Nominees, please.
Jesse Wagstaff.
Good one.
Deng Deng.
Yeah,
Chris Golding.
Jeez, it would normally go to Golding, but it has to go to Deng Deng. That moment will live on forever, whereas Golding's were egregious and bad, but he's got a reputation. They mold into the background. It's got to be Deng Deng for me.
Yep. Correct. You are the winner, and you have picked the reason why. That flop was legendary. Jesse Wagstaff, just a body of work over many seasons to be respected, but Dang Dang just really took it away this year. Congratulations.
Next award. This one is called the Mumbles Award. Least discernible commentator, and the nominees are Leonard Copeland. And Leonard Copeland. I can't understand what he says sometimes. He's a good commentator, but gee, he can mumble.
And just assume that he's like paying out on Andrew Gaze and saying, back in our day, we used to play 48 minutes and we wouldn't rest.
Okay. Now it's all coming back to me. But so who you got? Copeland?
I'm going to take Copeland,
Next award, please.
Okay, this is my last award for the evening.
Ooh.
This is the Worst Import Award.
Oh, this is a Kenyan favorite.
I love
this one. You've been having this one. Yeah, this is great. Nominees.
Nominees are Todd Withers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Zimmerman. Michael Frazier.
Oh, wow. Wow. I'm just trying to think who I might put in as a write-in. Obviously, the ones that got cut in New Zealand, they're just kind of not in the equation. Wow. Obviously, the debate with Frazier is, you know, high expectations, good resume, didn't quite pan out.
Did nothing all season. But I feel like those
did very little. It had a couple of games good late,
yep.
Which kind of does bolster his opinion, my opinion of him.
Yep.
For me, it's got to be Todd Withers. I thought Zimmerman looked okay when he was on the court, rebounded well. He was a big, tall guy. He did big, tall guy things. Whereas Withers, for me, I just never saw him pop. And he never had one game. Zimmerman had a game where he got like 20 and 10.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple of poppy games. But Withers, for me, I never saw where it quite where the rubber met the road. What do you think?
There you go. I mean, furious agreement. Yeah, Todd Withers is the winner. Zimmerman had hands like seals, but occasionally it came good. And Withers, yeah, just ordinary throughout the entire season. I hope he enjoys the New Zealand NBL. I'm sure he'll do much better there.
Oh, that's not very nice. Let's go this one. This one I call the Courtside Cuck Award. Best Courtside Comments. John Guana, the Lizard Man.
Lizard, love it.
Derek Rucker, second time on this. I think. And, of course, Damian Martin.
Okay.
It's a runaway. It's well, a two-man race.
I love the Guana, but it's not him.
Love the Guan.
He's really good, but it's not he's. Derek Rucker, ooh, great fun to listen to, but I'm sorry, Damian Martin has the lines, he has the cheekiness, and he's got mm-hmm. the insight. So I'm giving Damian Martin the win, the gong there.
I think Rucker was running an uphill race. Damian Martin was running on the sand in someone's footprints. I feel Perth owns the town. He had the access.
Yep.
Whereas Rucker is still involved in Brisbane, not denying it, but and was very funny and comical. But also the games weren't of as great a significance. I think that added weight and it all worked in Damian Martin's favour. So I got Damian Martin.
Yep.
And that's my last award.
There you go. The Cucks.
I think. The POC Pod Cuck Awards. Let's call it that. Everyone's having
fun. We workshopped that a little bit more. We should have probably spent more time on the titling.
If you can guess, people, we didn't. We sprung that at each other.
Your awards were good, though. Can't deny that.
Oh, man. Fantastic. If you had to give an award for best NBL podcast, I think there's not even two other nominees. It's us, right?
Well,
can we give it.
I don't like to toot my own horn, but toot toot.
This thing is shit hot. This is. What? And other podcasts, come at us. I'm putting in the Twitter bio, award winning. It's won POC Pod Cuck Award.
You come at the king, you best not miss.
Come at the cock. Come at the cock. Look at it. We put that on a t-shirt. You put that on a t-shirt. That is going to generate some money. If Nick Tan's going to make that into a t-shirt. I guess it's it. Oh, you come at the cock.
Oh, that's ended.
Oh, dear.